Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 308, 76 degrees on this Monday, September 29th, 2025. We are almost done with September already. Look at that. First it was summer, now we're into fall, now we're into October. The true pumpkin spice season, if that's your thing. How's everyone doing? It was crazy, crazy weekend. I did get some rest. That was a good thing. Did watch some football. That was a good thing. But there was a lot going on in our area. There's a lot going on right now, and we're going to get into the what the nuts and bolts are of this peace plan in Gaza, where Trump and Netanyahu, and that's only two of three players here. So, as far as this goes now, and it's all well and good, unless Hamas signs on to this and actually follows through with it, it's pretty pointless at this point. But it is a good sign, and we will see. And Netanyahu just made it perfectly clear that if Hamas does not accept this agreement, that Israel will finish the job. And those were his words, will finish the job. So they have to know what's coming, but, it's not unlike them to want to go out the martyrs either and simply say, that's our choice. So we'll see, and we'll go through that plan. It's a pretty in-depth plan, but again, unless this terrorist organization, Hamas, signs on to it, it does not go any further than today's news cycle and, the speeches given by Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel and Donald Trump, the president of the United States. So we'll get into that, but I'll a little closer, actually closer to home and across the United States this weekend. We had this incident at the Hideout, private gated community in Lake Ariel, Hamlin, Pennsylvania. I know it very well. I spent a good portion of my life when I first got here to Pennsylvania managing gated communities. The Hideout was never one of them, but I was president of the Northeast Pennsylvania Security Chiefs Association. I know the security chief of the Hideout who's been there, I think, 37 or 38 years, very well. And I know the community very well. I have several friends. I've been through the community. I've been at events in the community. I have several friends who have homes in the community. Matter of fact, when I first was given a heads up that this was going on, I had to reach out to my brother because, he stays there quite often with friends. And especially during this time of year in the summer. He was not there, and thankfully the people he knows were not up for this weekend. Anyway, but there are a lot of people there. I think it's 3,700 homes, I believe, the Hideout has altogether. And again, their staff is very well trained, but in situations like this, when you're dealing with someone who's attacking their own parents, I mean, that's where we're getting at this point. Even wounded and bleeding, the mother, while a neighbor was calling 911 after she was shot, in the background, you can hear her saying that it was her son that did it, and he's bipolar. So she was letting it out there, even after he attacked his own mother, letting it be known to first responders that he was not mentally stable. He has a pre-existing some sort of pre-existing condition. But basically, the parents said that they haven't heard from him in a while. They were doing a wellness check on him, and this turned out happening. Not only did he wound both his parents, he was pursuing one of his parents, I believe. I believe it was the mother that he was pursuing and advancing towards after she was already shot. And one of the neighbors yelled out to him that he was armed as well, and he ran away. Yeah, the mother, Lisa Gartrell, was hiding behind a rock on a neighbor's property, and he saw the suspect running towards her armed with a rifle when the neighbor said that he was also armed, and the suspect ran away. And then they were able to give medical aid to the woman, the mother of this suspect. The suspect fled on a electric bike or electric scooter type conveyance. But here's things that jump out at me. And, you know, here's an individual who was prepared for something. He was wearing tactical gear. He had a handgun in his waistband. He had several magazines and bullets in his backpack. He had knives on him. He had a rifle with him. And when a neighbor said that he was armed, he chose to run away. So it leads me to point out that he was aware of what was going on. He did not want to mess with someone who was also armed. And he fled and did not pursue, thankfully, did not pursue his mother, who was already wounded, hiding behind a rock on a neighbor's property. Thankfully, if you do not know the setup of the hideout, it's a large gated community. Like I said, 32 to 3,800 homes. I forget the exact number. But, you know, they're each on a third of an acre, a half acre, an acre property. Some have even more property. You know, wooded areas, lots of trees, lots of rocks and boulders. The lakes are throughout the community. There are several lakes and ponds. So thankfully, she was able to get to some cover, and a neighbor was able to intervene. But it's telling to me that this suspect, as bipolar or whatever he was suffering was prepared for something because he was dressed for something. That's obvious by the description that's been given of him. And when a neighbor said that he was armed to back off, he did. He ran away. And when he was confronted with police, he fled again and ended up being taken into custody without an incident. So he knew enough not to challenge the armed police that were there. And the armed police were there very, very rapidly, quickly. I believe the hideout security, public safety, is a mix of armed and unarmed personnel. Unfortunately, one of their security officers were shot and killed responding to this incident. Unknown if he was armed at the time or not. But when you're pulling up to a situation, especially as gated community, private security, public safety, and you arrive on a scene, you really don't know what's going on yet because he was obviously the first one there before a lot of the 911 calls got out. Because one of the women who called 911 saw the public safety officer get shot. And unfortunately was killed during that exchange and pronounced at the scene. There was a procession to take his body from the coroner's office later that day, from what I'm told. But again, here's an issue where there was obviously some concern that he was not mentally stable. The parents in the story said that they were looking to do a wellness check. Whatever happened after that, we don't know the facts there. What triggered this violent response? But not violent enough, not out of his mind enough to realize that he didn't want to take armed citizens or the armed police and decided to run rather than that. And again, he was dressed in tactical gear, wearing a gray or dark-colored sweatshirt or jacket. He fled on a motorized bike. He was also carrying a backpack with a rifle. When the troopers encountered him, you know, he again tried to flee on the motorized bike and ended up crashing near the north gate of the hideout. A handgun was found in his waistband. He also had several knives and ammunition, according to the criminal complaint. Troopers observed the backpack and multiple magazines of ammunition scattered around the crash site where he crashed on his bicycle. When questioned about the rifle, he said that he panicked because he couldn't fit it in his backpack, so he threw it somewhere inside his residence at 445 Lakewood Drive. Now, I have a copy of the complaint here. They have charged him with criminal homicide, two counts of criminal intent to commit criminal homicide, murder of a law enforcement officer of the first degree, and aggravated assault, where he's taken to Wayne County Prison, where bail was denied. This did set, obviously, in such a large gated community, there was criticism about the notification system put out by the community itself. That's something that could always be looked at in hindsight. Again, notification or not. Yes, it's nice to know these things, but word got out pretty quick within this community. Some of the pictures I'm looking at from the news stories, it looks like members, community members of the safety committee ended up working some gates because obviously all their safety personnel, their public safety were occupied and busy and also losing one of their coworkers. So some of the pictures, it does look like to me, knowing the situation and the makeup of these communities, that members of the safety committee or their board of directors were volunteering to kind of staff the gates to make sure only people who live there were able to get in. And it is a gated community to where your guests and visitors, unless they have a permanent pass, you know, have to be called in or noted to be in by your authorization. And then they check in, show ID, get a pass for their car for either the day or a couple of days or week that they're there. So when obviously something like this would happen, it was a shelter in place and closed down the entire community. But just a tragic show of how quickly something could go wrong. And I know my colleague Sue Henry got into it a lot here about, you know, we have this and we're going to talk about the Church of Latter-day Saints issue and that boating shooting in North Carolina. What is, you know, I know Sue dove into the mental health aspect of it and the getting help for mental health, and that there's absolutely that need. There are crisis hotlines, but does it follow through with immediate medical providers? Some of them have where you could talk to therapists, some of them don't, but there's definitely that need there. But where have we gone and how have we gotten here to where there is this increase in mental health, this such of lack of respect for human life, to where, you know, this obviously some sort of mental instability, be it bipolar, whatever the situation may be, but this person also had the wherewithal here in Pennsylvania in the hideout to not challenge other dangers to himself. It wasn't like this was just, hey, I'm just losing it and whatever happens, happens. There were conscious decisions not to preserve his own life. And then you have this individual in this Church of Latter-day Saints that obviously had a target for these people for whatever reason. Again, combat veteran, Marine, whatever they were dealing with, had a wife and a daughter with chronic illness. So we don't know what kind of stresses or what kind of pressure there was and why he was specifically targeting Mormon or the Church of Latter-day Saints. From what I'm getting from my FBI contacts, that was the target. This faith, this church, did he not get what he felt he should have gotten from worship? Was he a member of the church? We don't know these things yet, but did this church fail him in some way where he held a grudge? And we need to find those answers out. And this shooting in North Carolina where a guy on his boat just shot into a dock bar at random, and listening to the press conference on that, most of the victims were vacationers from out of town, not even from that area. They just happened to be there having drinks on a bayou, you know, deck bar on the river. And this guy just opens fire on him. Now, he was obviously known to the police, they said. Whatever prior either criminal or psychiatric issues this person had, we'll find out. But again, here's no rhyme or no reason, just shooting into a bar randomly. Now, he could have had an issue with that bar. He might have not liked the bar owner. Maybe his ex-girlfriend worked there. You know, again, a lot of what ifs. But where? How have we gotten here to where this is what's happening over and over again? And it's a large part of, be it a car, be it a knife, be it people's hands, or be it a weapon, like a firearm, like a gun, be it a long gun or handgun or whatever it may be. Where and how have we gotten to the point where so many people are losing it to the point where they just don't care if they take human life or not? And I think that's where we need to take the step back from. Where in the past 30 years has it become okay to lash out like this, to use mental health as not an excuse because it's a very real problem, but why is it increased exponentially so much? Is it the internet? Is it social media? Is it media in general? Is it lack of a family environment? Is it, I mean, here you had in Pennsylvania, you had parents who were looking to check on their child. And even after he shot them, the mother, bleeding on the ground, wanted first responders to know that A, her son is the one who did it, but B, he's got bipolar. So still that motherly concern for her child.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
To let them know, so deal with him knowing that. And I, to hear that story from her, to have the wherewithal, first of all, being shot by apparently a rifle, bleeding on your neighbors, hiding behind a rock because your son is pursuing you to possibly kill you, being saved by a neighbor to where he runs away, and then as the 911 call is being made, have the wherewithal to say, hey, it was my son, here's his name, and he suffers from bipolar. That's just a tremendous display of compassion that is not uncommon for mothers, but just a different dynamic here to show there was this environment. They were checking on him. And for whatever reason, this was the outcome. So, you know, I take it a step back even further than my colleague. Why is this exploding exponentially so much? Why is this going, did we fail? I mean, was it the timeout generation that just didn't work? Where how did we get here to where this seems to be the answer now? To be okay to take human life? And that's the question we're going to keep asking, because it doesn't seem like it's tilting back the other way. It's 3:24 here. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. I got some text messages coming in. I think the problem started when they closed the sanitariums in the late 80s through the 90s. People weren't able to receive the help monitoring they needed. It was claimed that as long as they were on their medication, they were no threat to the general public. Well, the other thing is, too, we've relied on our prison system and the criminal justice system to deal with people with mental health issues. And that's no way getting them anything that they're dealing with. We cannot the prison system is, unless you're in immediate danger to yourself and others, it should be a thoroughfare to get you the proper treatment you need. And I'm not saying you don't need to be incarcerated. I'm just saying you need to be in a place that you're going to get the help you're going to get. And having, you know, medical personnel come in, or whatever clinic that the prison is contracting with to come in and give you the treatment you need, it's not really the treatment you need. You know, and you add that to this shooter of the Church of Latter-day Saints out in Michigan. You know, here's an Iraqi war veteran. Here's someone who had a wife and child with a chronic illness. He served time in combat. You know, these are the things we do know. Now, what caused him to target? Obviously, he snapped. He went there, drove his truck into the building, poured gasoline on his truck, had some sort of incendiary devices that they found, set the entire place on fire. And thankfully, you know, police were there pretty rapidly and were able to confront him and end that threat. And even though there are still deaths, two that were shot, I believe more that were found after the fire, and multiple injured, one still being in critical. But here's someone that we failed for whatever reason here. You know, here's an Iraqi war veteran. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, and we don't really know a lot of how he was pushed to where he was. But when we find those things out, are those answers going to be there? Because here's someone who should have had the help. Here's someone who should have had the therapy that they needed, should have had the medication, should have had the doctors, should have had something to help him. And again, we don't know what his target was, but again, the FBI contacts that I speak to says the Mormon church was his target. This was a targeted attack to them. Now, it hasn't gotten it. Was it anyone specific, or was it the entire church itself? You know, we don't know. And again, speculation is all we have. So, you know, did he seek comfort in the church because of what he was dealing with his past, what he saw as a past veteran, and with his family issues that he was dealing with? You know, being that his wife and daughter both suffered from the same chronic disease. So, you know, things we need to really look at, things we really need to look at, and just not report these issues. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. That's our call or text line. So check us out. Let me go to the phone now. Speak to Charnel on emergency preparedness seminar that's coming up. Charnel, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So tell us about your event.
Well, the Mountaintop Area Community Association, also known as MACA, is going to be presenting emergency preparedness seminar October 7th. That's a Tuesday night at 6:30 to 8:30 at Crestwood High School. All families are welcome. It's free. We're going to be going over, we have expert speakers. We're going to be going over fire rescue or fire prevention. We're going to be going over Code Red, and that's for Luzerne and County. So even if you don't live in the Mountaintop area, Dorrance, Nongola, Wilkes-Barre, whatever, Luzerne County, we're going over some Code Red, which is something that everybody needs to know. And a majority of people have no clue what program that is. Also, we'll be talking about 911. They'll be there and talking about some of their things that they can do that I don't think most people have a clue. So it's going to be an educational thing. I'm hoping that we get old and young there, because really, everybody needs to know some preparedness and some information. I think it'll be very informational. So it's October 7th, 6:30 to 8:30. It's at the Crestwood High School in the cafeteria.
All right. And is there a place somebody can go to sign up for this? They just show up that night?
Just show up. We'll be happy to have you.
All right. Well, yes. Chanel, thanks for letting us know about this event. And that's October 7th from 6 to 8:30 at the Crestwood High School.
6:30 to 8:30, yes.
Okay.
Emergency Preparedness Seminar. Yes.
Well, it's a great topic, great idea to get, like you said, young and old involved in.
Well, you were just talking about notification. People weren't notified. Things didn't get passed on. There's the Code Red that's going to be a notification tool. So there's tools out there. We just have to be able to use them. But aside from that, they may be using them. But if people don't know about them and don't know how to access it, they're at a loss.
Yeah, and since you're going to have the 911 people there, the comm center people there, it would be great to go over, you know, how people can text 911 now in a lot of our counties and a lot of our areas. I think all of our counties you could text now.
I am sure he's going to go over a lot of things. There was a program that I certainly didn't know about, and you probably do, but the three-word program I certainly didn't know. So it's something that I even learned. And I, like I said, I think there's a lot of information that some people, there's some information that we'll be reviewing, obviously, with fire, but there's also things that's all new. So technology moves on, and we all have to be aware of it.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Well, thanks for telling us about this event, and we just told everyone else about it now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chanel. You have a great night.
All right. Yep. Bye-bye now.
All right. And listen, the more knowledgeable events like that we can get out there, the better for everyone. Especially with things we're seeing going on. I'm still a big proponent of having EMT classes in our high school instead of, you remember we had the old wood shop or metal shop or stuff like that. Have EMT classes. Get these upcoming 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-olds a skill set being a certified EMT that could be paid for in the school. They can serve their communities. If something happens in the high school during the day and you have a few dozen EMTs in the building, I mean, how great would that be? You know, even if it's just a weather event or anything else, it doesn't have to be something tragic. You know, what if, you know, somebody's choking and in pretty much every cafeteria you have three or four EMTs? The results will be outstanding. And then you have a job where these individuals through high school and college can market to themselves $15, $20 an hour as paid EMTs. I just think it would be a great thing to do. And I would like to see our 911 centers, our comm centers, go to our schools and address the entire student body on ways to help 911 if you see something, if you're a victim of a crime, if you see a crime, if you're involved in a crime in progress and you want to text because you can't speak on the phone. These are how you do these things. You know, I know on the age of the supercomputers in our hands, you know, we just Google everything and, you know, it tells us or ask AI. But these types of events at school, especially with the kind of stories we're talking about, is the way to go. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Well, it's that time of year. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for the Haunted Woods of Council Cup. Get two tickets for the price of one, only $25. That's half off. Battle through zombie paintball. Endure the haunted hayride. Face the terrifying trail walk and enter the brand-new haunted house. The Haunted Woods of Council Cup is located in Wapwallopin. Visit GetMyPerks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:46, 76 degrees on this Monday, September 29th. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Berwick on mental health. Joe.
Hello, Rob. I wanted to comment on this because I think you do have a lot of insight on this, as do I. You know, from the jobs that we both did previously. You know, when you talk about mental health, here's the question that needs to be asked. What is meant by the term mental health? Okay, so who's defining what it means to say somebody is mentally healthy or unhealthy? And in the criminal justice system especially, This term has been so abused, and the people using this, you know, I would say purely almost for like political ideology, because they want to claim there's a population among us who can't be responsible for anything because they're quote unquote mentally unhealthy, as it were. That is such an important question to answer. If we're going to say mental health, then we need to define what it means to be mentally healthy, and what is society's set as expectations for what you would call mentally healthy. And I'll give you an example for this, because it stands out as one of the most stark I can think of in how absurd we've become over this. I've talked on Sue's show quite often about an incident where my wife, who's a daycare director, had to have her whole center go through the nonsense of being investigated because a staff member simply wrapped their arms around the child and kept a child from going off and basically throwing a violent tantrum. And what led up to this was the fact that a young child, was going around telling his peers that he was going to kill them. He literally said those words out of his mouth. And that's what led up to the whole incident of the violent tantrum. Now, the police had to get involved. Yes, it came to nothing because, you know, at least around here, people aren't insane like they are in the cities, and they didn't see it as an incident of abuse in any way. But because the child was, quote unquote, physically restrained, it had to be investigated like a whole big, abuse situation. And all they were concerned about was the fact that, did a staff member abuse a child because she physically restrained him in some way? There was absolutely no concern at all, and nobody cared or said anything or saw any red flags that a young child got angry to the fact that he was physically threatening to kill his or her, classmate. That doesn't raise alarms or bells and whistles in any way. It was the whole abuse situation. So when we talk about what mental health is, people throw these terms around like it means something. And yeah, what does it mean? Because if you're going to look at an individual and say that individual is mentally unhealthy, what does it mean for that individual then to be mentally healthy? What matrix are you going to use, in other words, to say this is unhealthy and this is how you become healthy and this is what healthy looks like?
Well, that's why when I started off the conversation, I think you're 100% right, Joe. That's why I started off the conversation with, it's a catch-all phrase in itself, just like we've used the criminal justice system to deal with a lot of that catch-all system. So, yeah, we are going to force those powers that be to have to better define that. And listen, I get messages from people in mental health facilities right now that say, you know, when they're assaulted in these mental health facilities, they're forced by their administrations not to press charges because it's frowned upon. You know, when someone is brought in for a psychiatric evaluation or to our hospitals, for emergency room, just for care, and they push the envelope of mental health in assaulting or threatening a staff, and a lot of times the administrators, the charge nurses, or the people that be, write it off to, they were just in pain or just like that. And I get these text messages all the time. So, yes, by saying we are going to do more, we have to start that conversation off by who's a lot of us to say what's mentally healthy and not? That's for the professionals to decide, but we've taken the professionals out of the equation for the most part.
Well, we have, because you're absolutely right. And what you were talking about goes on here in Geisinger and Danville all the time. That's where I'm working today, as a matter of fact, in Danville. So that goes on in Danville here all the time with nurses being assaulted in the ER department. And the powers that be are being told to overlook this stuff because that doesn't fit into the definition of mental health. Because apparently their definition is, how do we make people into victims in society who don't have to answer for anything? So when there are people within that field who see this and who might not agree with it, who might speak up about it, they've been pretty much silent. So all you have left are either people who are beat down, people who maybe don't care, or people who are just out of their minds in what they define as mental health. And I think that's a lot of what we're left with.
We are. We are, no doubt. And if we are going to take it seriously, and we've let the criminal justice system use mental health as a crutch or excuse for just criminal behavior. You know, we just have bad individuals who grew up without any supervision, and because they don't fit the norm of what we normally see as a law-abiding citizen, well, we write it off all that, you know, they have mental health issues, they grew up in a rough environment. No. They just have bad traits and they're criminals. You know, so we have to draw the line there as well.
Yeah, if mental health were being used correctly, that person's response to normal and appropriate accountability would be used as a red flag to either take them off the street or get them some kind of help. Or, it would be a red flag. And I think what you saw recently in Charlotte, North Carolina, is pretty much proof positive of that. That kind of behavior just gets ignored when in fact that young man's response to what is should be normal, acceptable societal accountability, his response to that should have been a red flag as to how dangerous he truly was. And instead it was just ignored.
Yeah, and as we're having this conversation, I'm getting texts into the studio from both people in educational world and mental health world saying that both administrations frown upon any sort of police involvement when it comes to mental health or people assaulting them or such like that. Joe, I'm going to have to leave it there because I'm up against the Bloomberg Money Minute coming up shortly.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
Thank you for the call. And it's a... Yeah, it's a great conversation to start having. And, you know, the people who are texting me in both the public school systems and the healthcare settings, I'm fully aware. Believe me, I know. I have family in both, and it's 100% correct. It's 3:55 here, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Well, it's 3:57, they're almost coming up on 3:58 here up against the 4 o'clock hour here. I just want to note that 30,000 runners retrace the 9/11 heroes path in the Tunnel to Towers race this weekend. Had some friends there. It was a great event. I saw Dave Portnoy was there and the whole group. And it's, I was able to do it once and it was just a tremendous emotional. It was the only time I've been back to Ground Zero. It was the first time I was back to Ground Zero at the 19-year mark. And, I did the Tunnel to Towers, went through the tunnel and come out, and you look up and you see the Freedom Tower there in front of you, and everyone's holding the signs of every fireman and policeman lost on 9/11, and it's just a truly emotional time. And then you get the West Point cadets marching through and the Marine Corps as a group running through, and it's just truly something. If you've never seen it, if you don't partake in it, if you just want to go, I highly recommend you go and be a spectator because it's something phenomenal. But 30,000 runners retrace those steps this weekend for the Tunnel to Towers race, and they do some great work. The organization there, I'm a regular sponsor and donor to the organization. As if you could, you should be as well, because again, they do some great work. One of the organizations that I truly stand behind. But it's something, if you could do it, it's 3.5 miles. It's not a bad walk. You know, the tunnel does slope down when you enter it and then slope up when you come back up. You don't realize that driving it, but when you're walking it, you sure do. But it's not a bad way. Listen, if I could do it, you could do it. So maybe in the future, check it out. Do it with your kids. Do it with your family. I would be highly recommended, especially with your kids. And you come out of the tunnel and to see the faces and the firemen lining the way for you. Just great, another great event by Tunnel to Towers. So kudos to them. 30,000. That's grows every year. And it's good to see. It's coming up on 4 o'clock here at WILK News Radio. We'll be back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.